And welcome to episode 2 of Gaming Disassembled. My name is Nida Voa, and J.Dot Sloan is with us as always. How does this wonderful Monday night find you?
Yo, I am still too white for that.
Yes, you are.
It's pretty good. My house smells terrible right now.
What a random factoid.
I know, right? But you're asking me, and I'm like, all right, well, what's the situation? What's the sitch? And the sitch is that I decided to teach my boyfriend to make beer, and we're having a good time with it. He's super excited. Making beer is kind of a cool thing to do. But the process of making beer is a stinky one, and proto beer makes the whole house smell like stinky. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, but at least it's for a good cause. I mean, it's for beer. I'm not the biggest beer person, but I've always been more hard liquor. You know,
sure, because so you can add a whole bunch of sugar to hard liquor.
Well, but see, if I'm gonna drink, I always figure like, well, let me go ahead and like go find the Bacardi 151. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I'll get us back on topic. All right.
Oh yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, for real. you know what? Here's the tie-in. Some gamers probably had some beers because they said farewell to their favorite MMO, City of Heroes, last week.
So I've never played City of Heroes. I know Gail Simone played for a while. She was a big fan of that game.
I loved the idea of it, right? And everyone I've talked to, I wasn't a player of it. But what intrigued me was actually, it was funny. There was this article on Destructoid, and pretty much every blog had some kind of article about it, right? The last day or whatever. But Destructoid was probably my favorite of them because it actually was more of a personal. You could like see the love just kind of sprung off the page. And you got more of an idea of, it's just the basic thing about it is that it's not just that the game's gone. It was a really vibrant community. And it's what you want gaming communities to be. And we always talk about, Xbox Live and some of these other things. And there's really cool parts to them. But you also have to deal with the douche nozzles constantly. And there's always some, Steam the same way, whatever. There's always people bringing it down. And evidently, this is one of the better communities. And the game, what's funny is the game sold, like, the game was doing well, still.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, it was actually still.
Because I know it had gone free-to-play, and once a game goes free-to-play is the point where I kind of stop,
Which is funny to me, because isn't that the whole point of when they make them free-to-play, is to get more people involved? And then it seems like that's the point of view I hear more and more, is that once it goes free-to-play, it's like it's done.
Well, that's because usually when it's going free-to-play, it's because they didn't make it. So the free-to-play, while they're trying to do that to get more players, is more a signal to people that this thing is, swirling the drain.
It's dying.
So, yeah.
It's one of those things, right? I mean, most, especially nowadays, we live in such a thing of MMOs are so prevalent. They've been around for long enough where they've, gained a couple communities or whatever. Before, it used to be multiplayer games, and then the servers would shut down. After a couple years.
Right.
Now it's these who people have invested not just like a year or two, but like, this one was like 5 years. People have invested such time. It's kind of crazy. Have you actually ever been around a game that died?
Part of the problem is that I don't play MMOs because, I played Warcraft, but they don't do it for me,
Yeah.
I like playing games so I can play by myself, and MMOs are, especially getting the higher levels. It's like you have to play with other people, and I'm like, well, other people suck. I don't want to play with other people. That said, I've seen a few MMOs die, but, it was nothing I was ever particularly invested in. But it never seems like they really die. It seems like they just sort of limp along and then fade away, but there's apparently like that core group of cult handful people who continue to play long past its prime. So it's actually interesting that they're actually shutting down City of Heroes.
Yeah. What's funny is that I've never actually been a huge MMO player. There's a couple coming on the horizon. What's funny about this is that there's a remark towards the end of the article that NCSoft is the developer, And they kind of say, well, you know, it was kind of profitable, but, you know, I guess just not as profitable as they would like. And then he goes, well, I suppose NCSoft has different priorities. And if you click the link, it actually goes to Blades and Soul, the game we were
Oh.
talking about. Which,
Uh-oh.
yeah, I know, I kind of feel bad that, like, oh, hey, a game I was like ranting and raving about is like their new focus, and this one's like, you know, shutting down or whatever. It's not my fault or anything. It's still awesome looking. But I just feel
You're
bad. I just feel bad.
like, for a minute, you sure?
I mean, what? It's not my fault. I feel kind of terrible about it. But I've seen, even though I haven't been in one of these situations, I still have franchises that pretty much, you know, withered on the vine or died. And so I was, it kind of made me think there's like two franchises, especially that just kind of, you know, whether the sales weren't there or the console, you know, that it was on kind of fizzled and then they never came out with another one. There's like two franchises that I want to see back, and they kind of just died on the vine. So I didn't know if you had a franchise, regardless of if it's an MMO or not, that just kind of
Oh,
withered on the vine.
that. I was just thinking earlier today. So, I downloaded, it was half off, so I downloaded a Bard's Tale onto my tablet PC, my tablet computer, right?
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to me because I bought that game. I mean, I bought it used, but I'm playing it on my PS2 and it's like hot stuff, and now I'm like $3 app on my tablet. So
Isn't that crazy?
that's right now, that entertains the shit out of me too. But I'm playing it, and I'm having my like my RPG nostalgia like flaring up super bad, and it just made me think, like, I was like, you know what I need on my tablet? I need like Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross on my
Yes.
frickin' tablet. And then I was like, and then I need more of those games.
It's funny because mine are both RPGs as well. It's one is Suikoden, which I've talked about before, and the last one was like actually had a lot of critical praise. Suikoden games always kind of sold just enough to justify another one. Like, you know, I don't
Right.
believe, aside from the second one, that they ever sold, you know, crazy high, but they always sold enough, and it was a devout following, whatever. And the last one was excellent, and the last core entry. And then they spun it off into a strategy game, which I also played, which actually wasn't bad, but it wasn't where the series, you know, where I wanted it to go next. And then they came out with some 3DS game.
Crap, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, ugh, whatever. I don't even think it had the 108 stars, but it might have. But
That's actually how I felt about Kingdom Hearts too. Like, I really love Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and then everything else came out for like the handheld systems and everything, and I'm like, I don't want to like buy a new system to play more Kingdom Hearts. I want just Kingdom
just
Hearts 3. We didn't fuck it up, and like that's
don't that one, like, and the other entry in mine is also one that just, you know, like, it sold well, I think it did okay, but it didn't set the world afire. Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't understand, because it's just like the last entry sold bukus of copies. So and obviously they've been able to shovel all this, you know, all these spin-offs on a handheld because there's an audience there that keeps buying them. So I don't understand why, like, that's one of those weird ones that I don't know what the hell the problem with 3 is and why it's taken so long to get there, but that one's not
Or is
because
it still like in the process of getting there, or is that just us thinking they
it's
should and they really were like, nah, it sounds like a lot of effort, you know,
like,
like.
I don't know. I'm kind of evidently the last spinoff, which was 3D Drop Distance, which what is with these names? Anyway, Birth by Sleep and 3D and 100 something days and whatever the hell is that shit.
They're totally aimed at like emo tweens and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, like it couldn't sound more, I wrote poetry in high school-ish for the titles too. You know, you're laughing because you know it's
It's
true.
true,
You
and I
know
mean
what
I
you want to be true.
and it's
You
aimed
are
at
an
me.
emo fuck. That's really how that line should have just continued.
But like 3D Drop Distance was supposedly like at the end had a very clear, okay, the next one's 3. Like it had a very clear, we're trying to tie up some loose ends and we're launching into 3. So but who knows? I mean, you know, it's crazy. But like the other entry in that is Skies of Arcadia, which I loved Skies of Arcadia. Granted, it was on the Dreamcast, and I were There were a lot of crap games on the Dreamcast too, so it's not like just love everything because it was on Dreamcast. But
I had a boyfriend when I was 19, which is not the end of the story. The end of the story is I had a boyfriend when I was 19 who had a white polo shirt with a little Dreamcast logo with a single tear coming out of it, and the caption underneath it, this is embroidered, said, "Why didn't you love me?"
oh my God, I need that shirt. Where did he get it? Do you know?
Dude, this is 11 years ago. I could ask him if that was a real thing or a thing I just made up in my head,
I
but
need
I don't know.
you.
It
I need this. But Skies of Arcadia was amazing, and I loved it. It was funny, and again, nostalgia plays a hand in this. You know, and they re-released it for the GameCube, and then they did another re-release or whatever. But I'm hoping that at some point they'll do an HD remake. You know, for current gen systems. But that's another one that sold well. It did well. It's kind of looked at as a cult classic, whatever, but for whatever reason, there was never even a hint of Skies of Arcadia 2 or anything like that. And it's like, that's such a, it could be such a great franchise. I mean, it was Sky Pirates.
I never played it, but like I said, I watched that same boyfriend that I was talking about. I watched him play it. He had a Dreamcast, and he also seemed very enthusiastic about it. That's the best I've got. That's the closest. I had a boyfriend 11 years ago who agrees with you. I'm sorry that I'm not more on
Well,
topic for this,
damn
but
it.
no.
Okay, so moving on from that, but it's interesting to see, like, you know, I understand you put so much time into something like that, and then when it's done, it's like, man, you don't realize. I got at some point, World of Warcraft, that will happen,
You think
right? They,
so? Because it's
it's
been a
gotta,
minute.
like, what, 10, what is it, 10 years old now?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, yeah, there's no signs of, I'm not saying this is going to be in the next couple of years, but at some point in time.
You think it's gonna go? Well, I don't think it's gonna go until something upsets it. So I think there would have to be an innovation in technology for a new MMO to come out that uses this new innovation that makes the game 1,000 times awesomer. And it would have to beat World of Warcraft. But World of Warcraft has huge quality control. I mean, they're really great about that. You know, they have a lot of polish and shine on what they do. You know, people don't always agree with their story decisions, but they are definitely very good at what they do. And I think of any of the games, World of Warcraft is probably the one that's most likely to avoid stagnation and would be the actual game to come out with whatever innovation it was. So
Yeah.
I think World of Warcraft, of all the MMOs, is the one that's most likely to adapt and evolve rather than let itself die out.
I just think at some point, every game or series has a shelf life. You know? Like at some point, but again, I mean, it's Blizzard, and they've kept it going for 10 for a long time. If it's not 10
Okay, think
years, it's
about
been.
this. How long have the Simpsons been on the air?
But some would argue that that show should have gone off the air like 7.
Sure, and I'm sure there are people who are at some point are going to argue that World of Warcraft should have died, you know, 8 years ago or
With
whatever.
the
Not now, but like whatever future
magical
point.
pandas.
But at some point, you get enough people who love you that you don't get to die until you die with your generation. So,
Yeah.
I mean, World of Warcraft may be so entrenched in our generation that it's not going to go away until the kids aren't playing it anymore, you know?
It'll be the John Elway of video games. It'll
There you
retire in a nice way. Be the only person to retire in a nice way, not forced off the field. Like that, football reference. Boom.
So, sports metaphors aside and classic, and you know, it is possible. Maybe at some point, the people who, you know, Blizzard will just get tired of Warcraft. You know, the people who are making it will just be like, you know what? Let's just make something new. Why not? And sometimes that does happen.
Yeah, and maybe then we'll get Warcraft 4. Like real Warcraft 4.
Yeah, like the one that I can play by myself and I'm happy with. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love that. Okay, well, that's for, and we'll see. That'll play itself out.
Yeah, that's, again, this is us just like armchair punditing.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's kind
Exactly.
of the whole point,
That's the whole
isn't
point of what we're doing
it?
here.
Like if we were real reporters, like we'd be like out there finding facts and shit. Most of the time, we can't even be bothered to Google our own references. So.
You have a point. So motherjones.com it was an article that I actually got on my Twitter feed, And someone kind of retweeted this out. And it was interesting, right? It kind of goes hand in hand. It's funny, since our last episode, basically like the day of our last episode, huge campaign hit Twitter. And it was
Oh,
the.
are you talking about the one reason why thing?
Yes.
So the girl who started that, I think her, I don't know if her real name is Philomena, but Twitter, she's Philomena, and on Google Plus, she's Philomena. I've done some RPG work for her before. She does these flat pack adventures. She's really cool to work with, and she started this campaign on Twitter, basically. And the reason I bring this up is because a lot of the news outlets reported it as started by some other dude, and it was just like further example of, the marginalization of chicks who were speaking up or whatever. But so
Or not
Philomena
checking
started
references.
this what was that?
Or not checking references.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, it was this dude. Well, that makes sense. Whatever. I'm like, but it wasn't that. Okay, anyway. So she starts this thing, and it's basically like it's kind of half depressing when it started because she's basically talking about the reasons that that women have such a hard time in the gaming industry or have a hard time getting into it, or were discouraged in the first place, and a lot of people did and were encouraged to tweet about their reasons why they were discouraged from the whole thing. And it spawned off a couple sub hashtags of why some of the women stayed with it anyway, and then it started off a mentoring program for people to start mentoring people to help them, get into the gaming industry and stick with it despite the increase in hurdles dependent on your gender and such. So, like, it was a really cool thing to see just sort of blossom, and it's one of the reasons I absolutely love Twitter. And when people ask me why I'm on Twitter, I'm like, this is it right here. You know why else I'm on Twitter, by the way? The Twitter is the Twitter. Twitter is better at predicting health and disease outbreaks than the CDC.
For
But
real?
or yeah, well, not better, but at least faster and equivalent. But you want to know by how much they're faster by?
How much?
2 weeks.
Are you kidding?
I'm not fucking kidding you. So, and that's because when people talk about being sick more than they report it, like you go to the hospital, sure, but how many times have you ever tweeted that you just feel like shit today or whatever, that you've got the flu or you're on NyQuil or whatever? And
Yeah.
because Twitter is so searchable, I mean, Twitter's been an incredible compilation of data just on people's habits and everything. But yeah, because it's searchable, you just search for like health related tweets and you can count them up and find out where their locations are and use that to track and predict disease outbreaks. Or, as a nerd girl like me is concerned with, zombie outbreak. You'll hear it first on Twitter.
Yeah. So it's yeah. It's interesting. And it's but it was kind of sad at the beginning to
Yeah,
see.
because I mean, yeah. And then the sad part was the trolls, the dudes who felt the need to take that as a moment to tell women, I mean, again, to basically make the point, but get back in the kitchen, or it's not that big a deal, or get over it, you bunch of whiners, or just all this sort of sudden negativity and getting to see exactly what it is that the girls are talking about, and then the absolute cluelessness of the types of guys who will say exactly the kind of shit that you were talking about when you're pointing out, the barriers that women have to receive.
Well, and it's true. Okay. And here, I guess here's a couple of things, right? One, I think it's okay for someone to bring up that they A, don't get why why this happens, and B, they don't understand that it's so prevalent, right? Because guys as a whole don't deal with this kind of thing.
Yeah,
So,
if you never have to deal with it, then why would you ever be aware of it? And that's okay,
and I
you
think
know?
that's valid, and they should be able to do that without immediately, because they have raised a point of maybe what some people would think is a counterpoint, automatically don't need to be brushed aside and called a sexist. I think that's the opposite. Like, you're doing exactly what they're doing. You're just writing them off, and you're making a judgment that's not really valid. Now, I'm saying that for those specific ones. A lot of these aren't that. A lot of
No,
these are
not at all,
just like,
yeah.
yeah, a lot of these aren't. A lot of these are, well, it's not a huge deal, and you're being, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, and it's stupid, and you guys are fine, or whatever. And that's all bullshit.
Everybody gets teased, and you just need to toughen up, and you're like,
Exactly.
fuck
And
off.
yeah, and that's all stupid and ignorant, and that's where that comes from. But I've seen some people, and especially I've been reading a lot more comments lately, especially the topics like this.
Oh, God.
And
God bless you. I couldn't do it.
Well, it's pretty, man, you just gotta, you do a lot of scrolling, a lot of skimming. Like, okay, that's, wow. Okay, for the first two sentences, that's a bunch of crap. So let's just keep going. But there are a couple in there who, I honestly, if from what it seems like, they get lost in a shuffle a little bit and they just get written off as, oh, well, you're just sexist. No, they just don't understand. And it's a valid thing that some people just aren't exposed to and don't get why. And those people just need to be explained to. And not in a condescending, shitty way.
It can get really tiresome to explain it over and over. And it's not my job to explain things to people, you know? And the whole internet's right there. You can Google stuff on your own. You can try to figure it out. There's actually literally a website that's like Feminism 101. And while, you know, a lot of the times I do want to explain things to people, or I'm happy to. The problem is it's the internet, and a lot of people will literally, it's a totally common tactic, derailing clown tactic, derailing, it's a derailing tactic to require that you explain to me what's going on. You know, like, you know, you have your experiences, your life experiences, and who you are, and if I dress up, you know, as a, as like, say, we'll take Halloween costumes as an example. If I pick a Halloween costume that basically mocks and trivializes and derides, you know, whatever culture you came from, and you go, dude, that's not cool, and I go, well, you have to explain to me why it's not cool. It's not really your responsibility to explain to me. You can go, it's not cool, and it's more my responsibility to respect that and go, oh, you know what? Maybe it's not cool. Maybe I don't understand it right off the bat. I can figure it out later. And maybe I just shouldn't do this thing. And
True.
so, you know, to some extent, you know, some people will use that as a way to basically bully you into defending yourself
True. But
for
I
a
shouldn't call,
position.
in that exact thing though, I shouldn't just call you a racist. Because I don't know.
No,
Like,
you
I
wouldn't
don't.
say that. You wouldn't say that I'm racist. You would go, that costume is racist.
Exactly. And I think that's what they're sometimes in their annoyance. And I totally get that they're annoyed at having to say this over and over again. But they're just with a giant ass brush going.
So here's a thing that I've said to my friend Samantha, because she was like, she's like, she read up on the feminist stuff when I started getting into it, and you know, women, you know, the misogyny and all this, and she's like, I really want to be behind this because obviously it's a humanist thing. We all want to be equals. Nobody wants to be treated like stupid fucking shit or whatever. She goes, but you know, a lot of, she had the same thing that, you know, a lot of the, she says, I seem to, every time I go someplace, everyone's just dogpiling on the people who just clearly don't understand, or they're just being loud, or they're using the same tactics that the people that they're decrying are using. And she's like, I don't understand. You know, it's really hard to be all for an ideal that seems to be championed by like the worst kind of douchebags. And I go, Samantha, it's the internet, and it's not that everyone in the world is a douchebag. It's just that the loudest people win on the internet.
Exactly.
And it's the true of no matter what cause. You know, the majority of people who stand up for women's rights and minority rights and all of that aren't loud, obnoxious douchebags. They're just quietly going about their lives, not being a dick to their fellow human beings. You know,
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
you know, the people who are prone to getting on the internet and having internet justice moments also tend to be the kind of people who are just assholes.
You should, Kotaku actually did a roundup of some of the best ones, the number one reason to bees,
Oh, yeah?
and some of the number one reasons. So I will go ahead, including Philomena, who's on there. And so we'll link to that in the show notes, so that way you can kind of go in and get an idea if you weren't on Twitter or didn't take a look. I actually got to. It's funny, one of the things I talked to Riku Sarah, who is a the community manager over at Rocksteady. And basically it was funny, like, because I was like, okay, how do you guys, it's hard, right? Because you're in the position of, you work in the game industry, you're the voice of a developer. How do you, like, how does it affect you guys there? Also, how does it affect the developers, right? Because you're talking about, and especially lately, there's come some, very troubling things in the treatment and stuff, especially from some of these tweets about how certain, how women are being treated at these, where they're making the games, not even to the marketing and all that crap. It's like the games themselves are being made in this environment sometimes. And
I've heard about the women stuff surprised me less because I am a woman, and you start going, women were treated like they were inferior, and I go, yeah, okay. But there was a few that I read for black guys that were, I'm like having that same moment where I'm like, the fuck,
Yeah, I saw some of those. It's
Oh my God.
everything, right? It's minorities, it's it spreads beyond that. But yeah, with women in the game industry, I don't know if it's just because there's so much fewer of them. Like maybe that's it. There's just such the ratio for men to women is so stark.
But
And maybe
that's part of the problem, There's a reason for that too. So you have already too few women going into gaming because of barriers they reach before they even get into the company. And then the women that do make it are subject to a bunch of dudes who have never had to deal with a lot of women all at once. So.
And that's what she said. It was, she's like, this, it's funny. She was like, I really want to almost spread a message of hope, it seems, because it's like there's so much of this out there, and a lot of it's true. Like, no one's disputing, So it's just like, but when you find that, it's like anything. When you find that job, when you find that group, when you find that developer or whatever, or just the group of people that aren't douchebags and they're out there. And you find that it's an amazing industry to work in, and it was more of just like, hey, they're everything's not like that, because she
Well,
was like,
you don't even have to go so far as the actual like working in the industry, playing games.
yeah, for real.
As a girl, you find that I have quit more than my fair share of groups because the guys at the table made me uncomfortable, And it's like, it's just my free time that I'm doing for fun. I don't feel the need to spend it with people who and again, they're not like consciously trying to drive me out or whatever. It's just totally unconscious, unthinking stuff, and I go, I'm just not gonna play anymore. I don't, it's not my again, it's not my job to try to correct them and fix them or whatever. And mostly, it's just easier just to not go to that group anymore.
Yeah, it's
So.
true. Well, yeah, it's again, it's this is one of those discussions that constantly comes up or whatever, but it's interesting to talk about. But there's a lot of stuff. So do yourself a favor, read up on some of that stuff and kind of educate yourself, right? They'll be one of the tools. But while we're talking about female-led projects, that leads me right into a sequel that not everybody wanted and did not. Not
Oh,
everybody.
yeah. No, I'm totally gonna bitch about this. Keep going. All
Okay,
right.
so Lightning Returns, which is Final Fantasy 13 3, basically. But they've Square has said basically that they're not. It's not like that. But okay, more
But
details
okay,
have come out
whatever.
about the game itself. And now here's the thing, and I'm gonna. I'll give some context for me. It's been widely known. Actually, at one point in time, early on in like my old site, I wrote a letter to Final Fantasy 13, and it
Was
was a
it,
very
please stop before I have to kill myself? Was it?
basically it was kind of like that. Okay, it was like I wrote it as in you were so welcoming at first. And you just like we went and like ate together and we did all this stuff and whatever, right? I wrote it that kind of way, right? It real dramatic. But the
Oh my
basic
God,
thing was
I'm
that
losing it.
there was great parts of the game. It had so much potential, and it just didn't do a lot of things like a lot of people wanted to, including me. And I was so frustrated that I never beat the game because I got so mad at it, I took it out on my disk drive and sent it back and never looked at it again, right?
Look, this
Because
is what I say to people. I'm like, there are two things that I want out of a Final Fantasy game. I want to explore, and I want loot. And that game provided neither. And that's why I was like, done.
I understand that. I totally get. And also, I want to be able, exploration. I just want to get off the main path. Can I get off of the street that you've put me on for 80 hours?
There's been some Final Fantasies. I've had friends point out that a lot of the Final Fantasies were pretty linear until late in the game, but I'm like, yeah, but they still had hidden areas you could find. You could go back, and check things out, and there was stuff to find,
And
and
linear to a I don't know if linear is the right, because I mean you could still go to towns and back and forth, and you could explore the world map. Granted, you didn't have the whole area unlocked, but like you could walk outside of a 5 foot area.
Let me put it this way. You would get into an area and it would take you a second to figure out where you needed to go. Now there's quest and recursion stuff, but with the 13, it was like, I know where I need to go, the other end of this hall. Problem solved.
And I'm gonna fight shit in between.
And I'm gonna fuck shit in between. And yeah, it was just so boring. And then the dialogue, and I know Final Fantasy isn't exactly award-winning dialogue all the time, but I just what was the kid's name? It was like Thunder or something like that. Lightning? Lightning?
Well, okay, so Lightning was the main woman character. Oh
There was
God.
the little blonde boy. I mean, white hair blonde or whatever. Final Fantasy.
Oh, I have totally blanked on his name.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Every time he opened his mouth, I wished he were dead. Like, there was nothing that kid said that I wasn't like, please kill me. I can't
Well,
do
okay, so
more.
did you play the sequel?
I didn't play the sequel. Why would I play the sequel when I was like, okay, look, Matt, I literally bought an Xbox for 13. I sold my car to buy an Xbox, rode the bus all summer, until I got sick of the bus and then just took out a loan for a new car. But I sold my car for $1,200, spent half of that on an Xbox and accessories and stuff, specifically because for 13 they announced it was going to come out on the Xbox and the PlayStation, and that totally resolved my should I buy a PS3 or an Xbox question, okay? And I don't regret buying an Xbox. It was totally like a worthwhile purchase. I got a lot of use out of it, but I regret 13.
I do too, right? I regret 13. However, I will say this. I am a we talked about hope
Optimist,
a little bit
obviously.
earlier.
Yeah.
Hope is the name. That's his name.
Oh, that's there. There you go.
It's
Yeah,
Hope. All right. Anyway,
hope. This is
okay,
where
that
hope
worked
might
out.
die.
But I'm an optimist by
So wait,
nature.
totally random question. Do you then place yourself primarily in the Blue Lantern Corps?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've gotten derided for it from a very many sources
Yeah,
because
I'm doing it in my head right now. Just
that's my favorite core.
we're supposed to be a gaming podcast, so I wasn't gonna, out loud, but
There is nothing wrong with the Hope core. They're
yeah.
awesome, but that's a whole other discussion.
That
They're
is so
awesome.
a whole other
They're
discussion.
awesome. Anyway, yes, I'm a bit of an optimist, so I have my blue ring on at the moment, and I'm saying that I played 13-2. I was like, they sold me on that they were going to change some things, and they took the feedback to heart. And I gotta say, it wasn't perfect by any means. It had its issues or whatever. But I truly enjoyed 13-2.
Okay,
Now,
so it was better than.
it was much better, and it was different. And they didn't, I mean, they didn't remake Final Fantasy VII. Like, it's not exactly that, the battle
Because the other
system.
thing my friend said about 13 that they pointed out was that they could watch Lord of the Rings and click a pen and have an equivalent combat experience.
I don't think that's true. No, but I think that's a bit dramatic. Only because.
For me, the combat was a lot of press A to continue.
Yeah, but
And
that's every Final Fantasy.
no, they, what was it, 10 or something, let you just set up actual gimmicks and stuff. And a lot, I know people complained about that, but I actually liked that.
I like 10 too, actually. That's I like 10. But if you look at okay, if you look at most Final Fantasies, you're still picking from a menu. Like it's not like
But there was no
in
menu for. Okay, we're bitching about 13.
well, here's
Whatever.
the thing.
You
But
know
in
what? We'll
13
fight about this later.
okay, I actually really enjoyed the combat system. But by the end of it, I think as time goes on and more things unlock, I think you actually have more choices. And I liked how they handled that. But the time aspect was cool, going to different eras and all that kind of thing. And the monster mechanic was great. So I thought 13-2 was a really good, like, not answer, but a nice we're sorry letter to all the people who bought
They
13.
got your letter and they were like, yeah,
Yeah.
you're right.
And they wrote a response. And Santa wrote a response to me and went, "We're sorry. Here's another game. It doesn't suck. Thank you." So,
Oh my God. And
Lightning
I saw.
Returns is the third and final entry in this Chrysalis, whatever weird name they have, saga. And this one is different. So again, they're using a time mechanic and they're doing something a little bit different, which I enjoy normally when they experiment with these things. I love turn-based, like seriously, I've had arguments about this. I love turn-based combat like more than anything. Okay, I
Okay.
love a good solid turn-based RPG. You know, I'm able to strategize and pick out what I want this person to do, and then in turns and all that stuff. I eat that stuff up. But I'm also an avid, I want other experiences. Like I want there to be different combat systems out there, and I want to try new stuff. And I liked the active time battle system in Final Fantasy VII, but I don't want every game to have that exact system. Like I like the battle systems in Grandia, and I liked like the more turn-based stuff of like, you know, games like Cardia and Stella Deuce and all these, you know, random RPGs or whatever. Like I like new stuff. And so when I hear that what they're kind of doing, it's kind of neat, a little bit different. So the combat system, I think, is staying mostly the same with a couple tweaks. But the thing is, the game takes place over 13 days. And while they're still trying to line up exactly how much the clock is basically running the entire time you're playing. And depending on how many, like what kind of quests you do, or you know, missions you unlock, that kind of thing, and paths you take, they will extend the time that you're in the world. So if you do another, if you do a quest or whatever, that quest might like extend it a little bit, or by, you know, however long of game time you're actually playing. But the whole thing will take place over 13 days, and the choices you make will affect what, you know, what ending you get and how things play out. And you cannot get everything. There is no perfect playthrough. Like you're
Right.
not going to get, you know, all of the things in one playthrough. If you want to see other stuff, you're going to have to play a couple times, which is interesting to me. I think it's
Well, I
different.
mean, that's part of what I like about, again, Mass Effect and Dragon Age and stuff. I mean, I appreciate a game where I spend $60 on it and I spend 150 hours playing it, you know, and then spend more hours after that replaying it and such. And just to see what different kind of stuff. Like, you know, I will beat someday Borderlands 2, by God, will I? But you know, my playthroughs are just going to be to see what the classes are like, and I doubt I'll finish the game a second time or whatever, because I mostly just want to see like how the class builds work or whatever. But I'm not going to be unlocking anything new with another playthrough, so you know, I'm not interested in the game itself anymore. I just want to, you know, fiddle around with some other mechanics. Whereas with Dragon Age and Mass Effect, not only was I getting to see cool other mechanics by fiddling around with a new character, but I'm getting to see new cutscenes and new interactions, and it made the game familiar yet new again. And so I do actually like that. When I first read about the time mechanic in 13.3, I don't know how to refer to it, but when I first read about the time mechanics, my first response was like, is this like Majora's Mask time mechanic? So they get to rewind time only 13 days. But then I read a little further and it's like, no, it's a hard 13 days. Like, that's it.
And
So
it's funny that I've heard the Majora's Mask thing, because I never played Majora's Mask, so I'm kind of clueless when it comes to that.
You have a song you play on your toodly doot that winds back time.
Ah, but you're tootly dude.
I'm looking at a picture of the Ice King smacking his ass. My brain just sort of went out the window there.
Oh my God, that is awesome. Please someone make a game where the device is called a tootly dude.
A toodly doot. Ocarina. It's in the title of one of the other games. This ocarina of time that allows him to do things with time. And it's actually like in the it's one of why it's one of the favorite Zelda games is because you're changing things in the past and then getting to the future and changing things in the future and then going back and fixing things. And it's basically a lot of back and forth. And that's really cool, actually. I mean, it just ends up being a really involved story of, you know, these same 3 days, you know, like the Groundhog Day, these same 3 days over and over, and yet they're never the same every time because screwing around with them. So that's a cool time mechanic, but that's not what they're going for. They're going for a hard 13 days. My question would be, what if you get to like day 12 and a half and realize you screwed the pooch like 8 days ago and there's nothing you can do? Like, you just have to start over again or something? That sounds a little frustrating,
But
you know?
see, shouldn't you should just, in theory, I think they would say, no, what you, your decision is your what you the decision you made. So in the moment, you decided that that was the best course of action, and so you took it. So like you should play it, and then that should be it. Like that should be your playthrough. Like the
I
same.
played through Dragon Age 3 times, the first 3 playthroughs, because the first 2 playthroughs I was trying to woo Alistair, like romance Alistair, and it didn't fucking work. And I was fucking pissed. I'm just gonna point that out there. Like it was an unfixable thing that, at some point I'm supposed to do X with Alistair. My first time through, he didn't like me at all, actually. He's a little more lawful than apparently I'm than I am. So, he was pretty much like, you're a big thiefy jerk, and I'm like, that's kind of true, but that shouldn't deny our love, or whatever. But the second playthrough, I was like, all right, I'm gonna do everything because it'll make Alistair love me. And then Alistair was like, yeah, I got other things I gotta do, sorry. So I was pissed, I googled it and everything. But I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, not that I feel like it was a bunch of wasted time or whatever, but I did get actually like angry and determined to do this thing, and it was not a pleasant experience. Not like a game experience that I'm proud of or happy to have had,
Yeah, no, I can see that. And the way I play Dragon Age, and the way I tend to play most games is like I'm one of those. I rarely, I have to say, since Final Fantasy VII, I've probably only played the Mass Effect games more than once, and that's it. Like I'm not a big replayer, so my first playthrough, whatever happens,
That's it.
happens. Yeah, and so in Dragon Age especially, which I actually kind of missed in the second one, because in the second one it felt like, okay, those things, regardless if I had left them or not, they were all going to kind of go the same path. In one, in Origins, it felt more like, okay, you make that decision and that's what you're stuck with for the rest of this game, and Liliana might not like you, and
And
that's it.
you just accepted that?
Yeah, I just,
That's just
damn,
not
that sucks. But
acceptable. It's
I
silly.
mean, at the end of Dragon Age, I made the decision, like, I mean, like some people, I mean, there were some people, of course, who went the regular Grey Warden way and were like, they sacrificed themselves. I did not. I had sex and saved my ass
See, okay, so
and had a kid.
I'm playing a chick, okay? And I've decided that I love Alistair, but Alistair doesn't love me, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. I will just sacrifice myself to this dragon, and that way I don't have to live without you, okay? And I'm like, sweet, and then that I would have been satisfied with that. Like, Alistair never loved me, it was unrequited, and but I sacrificed myself to save the whole world, including him, and therefore, validated my feelings or whatever, right? Like
You had this whole
I
thing
had
right
this
now.
whole thing planned out, and
Good
then that
Lord.
fucker, Alistair, was like, no, I'm just gonna sacrifice myself to the dragon. But I'm like, but you're king. And he's like, yeah, and now I'm gonna die a good king. And then fucking throws himself in front of the dragon and leaving me to live bitter and alone and unloved. And I was like,
Boy, that game, that
you
playthrough just
son of a bitch.
was a
Like,
giant middle finger to you.
it did.
Like, that is crazy that it's. Every time. It just said, nah, fuck you. We're not doing this.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So when you talk about a time mechanic like that, and choices being irrevocable, I can see the value in it, but at the same time, I know enough to be a little scared as well.
That I understand.
I've had enough bad experiences, so.
Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and take a real quick break, and then we'll be back with the collardibles and sounding off.
I gotta give him the funky rhythm.
Let me take you on a trip. Let me take you on a ride.
And we're back. So right into the collardibles. I'm excited
You are.
because I am. Because I love like I'm a sucker for anything almost chibi related.
Yeah, you had this last time. Oh, didn't I send you a link recently for something that was totally chibi?
Oh, I can't remember now.
You don't always check your mail, so I don't know.
I do too. I check stuff.
Because I know you will squee.
Oh, that one. I forgot to check that one.
I check my mail, except for the ones that you send me, but whatever.
Except for the one marked, you will squee, high priority.
Yes, here's high priority. Listen. Okay, open it up and look at it, because I fucking lost my shit when I looked at it. And, you know, if you're going to throw random-ass Sherlock fan art at me, I'm going to show you this picture of seriously open it up right now because I'm going to talk about it. It's my art supply for the thing. It is a huge honking Venom with his tongue lolling out and looking as happy as a fucking bulldog on Puddin' Day, you know, like just gleefully swinging through the air with a tiny baby Peter Parker and a tiny baby Mary Jane riding on his back, and it is the most adorable fucking thing you'll ever look at.
Oh, that is
awesome.
And
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the payoff.
That is awesome. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Fucking check your shit when I tell you you're squee. It's important.
That is awesome. That is the shit. Wow. All right, well, you kind of blew mine out of the water. Because adorable.
I've got great taste. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, mine was... Who did that, by the way? Who did the Venom?
It's on the Devin art page. It's Reza
Time Turker. Travel and Rocket Powered Apes.
There you go.
By Reza Turker.
Reza Turker. Turker, yes. Maybe it's Reza. Who knows?
I will find out who drew it, and I will post that in the show notes. But that is awesome. That is like freaking adorable. For mine, it was Sherlock, which is based on the BBC Sherlock, not Elementary, and it is a chibi version of that, and I think it's just adorable.
Oh, it is adorable, and I freaking love the BBC version. I've had lots of discussions with people about it. You know, like it's one of those that endlessly spawns like speculation and stuff. And you know, I have family members who we've totally geeked out about that, and like, you know, had our theories running around, and so we're waiting for the. Did you hear that the season got pushed back again?
Yeah.
The recording of season 3. They're like, no, sorry, you know. Freeman or whatever the fuck his name is too busy being a goddamn hobbit, and then Cumberbatch I think now is doing a radio version of Neverwhere.
Oh, well, and he was doing Star Trek too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's doing Star Trek, so whatever.
Busy guy.
Dude.
He's a busy guy.
I have needs too, you know.
Okay, so I'm gonna bookmark that because that was awesome. We'll launch from that. We will launch into sounding off. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So, speaking of more comic stuff, because that is, again, the thing that I like most in life right now, I recently discovered, it's one of the reasons I like following comic stuff on Tumblr, because people will post images from comics, and, you know, maybe that's a little shady, but it usually gets me to buy the comics, so consider it free advertising. But there was a comic called, Princeless by Action Lab Studios. And it came up on Comixology, which, you know, the digital distribution. And I like to buy the trades as actual books and put them in my library. But if it's for single issues, I usually buy digitally because I like to have it all on my one tablet. And so there's 5 issues of it, and it's an all ages comic. The main character is a princess who was locked up in a tower, and for, you know, courtship reasons, basically. I guess the kingdom runs on princes who slay dragons to rescue a princess. And this particular princess decides that this is crap, collects armor of the dead princes that have been eaten by the dragon that's guarding her, convinces the dragon to go with her, pointing out that the dragon was only hired to get killed by a prince, and the dragon's like, well, that's also crap. And they basically fly off to go rescue all the other princesses. And so it's a really cool kind of, and I hate to use the term like girl power, but it indirectly and obliquely addresses a lot of sexism that you usually see. There's actually in the second book, when she meets up with a blacksmith, and the blacksmith finds out she's a girl, then takes her to show her all the girl armors, and there's the Red Sonja, there's the what did they call it? They called the one was the warrior princess. One was whatever, it was Wonder Woman costume basically, and you know, was showing off all of these armors, and the princess character, Princess Adriana, was like, but what if someone tries to stab me in my midriff? And she's looking at the Wonder Woman costume, and the girl was like, well, that's what your bracers are for, to block that.
That's awesome.
It was so cool. So yeah, no, definitely worth picking up all 5 issues, you know, and it's great when you find a great comic when it's young, because I have comics that I want to get into that have 800 issues, and I'm like, I don't have that kind of scratch to drop on comics, you know, but yeah, at 5 issues, it's like, yes, just give it to me, let's go. So
awesome. No, I might pick that up, because that sounds awesome. It's fun, and it's self-referential. Love that.
Yeah, it is. And I've been selling it to everyone, especially if you've got kids, dude, 100%. But if you don't have kids, who cares, dude? I watch cartoons, I'm a grown adult, whatever, I love it. So, so yeah, definitely huge recommend, 2 thumbs up. Yes, please.
Okay, rock on. Yeah, I'll have a link to that, to the, it's on Comixology, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'll have a link to that, and then their actual homepage for that. One thing that is not cool, okay, thing that you should not do is, my sound off is just short, it's brief, but I'm already kind of against the overwhelming negativity that happens in the internet or whatever, right? And it's like fighting a war I can't possibly win, but that's okay. Yeah. I'm still going to rant against it occasionally, right?
You are fighting the good fight, as 3 I am. Say.
Because here's the thing. I understand seeing an image, a trailer, whatever, right? About something and go, oh, that was disappointing, whatever. And that's totally cool. However, claiming a movie is going to be one of the most disappointing movies of 2012 when it doesn't come out till 2013 is stupid. That's just being, I don't even know what the word is. I don't even know if that's traffic, like if you're just trying to get traffic, or if that's just being, I don't know what the word is. Like, there's a term, and I can't figure out what that is. But basically, Yahoo Movies did
I would use is cheap, but, you know, whatever.
Okay, yeah, right? So they did a top 10, basically, disappointing movies of 2012, and this is on Yahoo Movies. And so one of the features is Superman, the Man of Steel, which comes out, like, next year. And the only thing that has been released is one very short trailer, which, granted, the trailer sucked. One short teaser trailer, but it's not even very long. And then a new image surfaced today. And it's basically Superman in, like, handcuffs being led by, like, it looks like a bunch of military guys around him. And so, you know, I mean, it's one of those, you know, people think, okay, distrust, you know, you don't know who this alien is, whatever. Something along those lines. But that's it. Those have been, like, basically there's hardly anything else to go on. So this thing spotlights super. The thing title of it is Superman Lacks Pants, and so he goes for the upcoming reboot. Man of Steel director Zack Snyder took off Superman's red briefs. That's right, the 300 director changed the iconic uniform of the last son of Krypton, and he now looks as if he should be on a luge instead of fighting crime. What happened to tradition? That's the blurb.
Oh, I fucking
there's
hate
nothing about so, the movie.
So there's I had this fight, and it wasn't even a fight. Actually, it was just like. Some dudes at a gaming table, because I play at Marvel RPG, said something stupid, and I basically tried to say it was stupid, and they were like, no, we're right and you're wrong, and I just had that moment of like, this is not a fight worth having. But they were complaining, it wasn't even a serious complaint, but they were saying that they could see why people would complain about how Nick Fury is black in the movies, you know, it's played by Samuel L. Jackson, right? Because he's always been white in the comics. And they're like, you know, it's like betraying canon. And I'm like, are you fucking telling me that you're holding up comics canon as some kind of incontrovertible, like, never been betrayed before by its own particular storylines or whatever, that's a justification for complaining about the color of somebody's skin? Then I feel that same way about complaining about Superman's trunks. And I think it's even mentioned in that article. I'm sorry, I totally took over. But this shit pisses me off, too. Look, you got me going.
See? I'm so happy right now.
This is just as bullshit.
So happy. I got the engine started.
Dude,
that's awesome.
It doesn't happen often, even... but when I get going, I'm like, nah.
Well, and here's the thing. The I can't believe it was funny. My one of our writers at Geek Tyrant, Joey Parr, did the article for us. And it's funny because he even mentions it in the article. It just screams of ignorance, because if you had been paying attention to comics in the last year, they took it away. Like, the costume is actually what he has in the books right now, because they did this huge thing. You might have heard of it if you paid attention to comics at all in the last year. It was the New 52, and they took that away. So the costume is actually pretty, it's not completely accurate, but it's pretty damn accurate, and actually looks pretty cool, personally.
So I think the phrase we're looking for is attention whore, and it's not a very flattering phrase, you know?
No. But and, I think it's accurate.
It's a phrase that is often used to apply to people it doesn't necessarily belong to. But I feel like in this case, it might be justified.
You
know,
I think
maybe
so.
Whore isn't the right word, but you know, someone who certainly is committing travesties in the name of garnering attention for his
top
stupid
10
mouth.
List. For his top 10 list, which, okay, like, I have no problem with that. But the thing is, the paragraph that he wrote has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Because the movie's not out yet.
No.
So how can it be the most disappointing movie of 2012, or one of them, if it's not out, you haven't seen it, and the only thing you've mentioned is your distaste that he has no red trunks, which were stupid to begin with.
Which were stupid to begin with.
So, I'm sorry.
And that's what we do, and I'm like, you're really attached to the idea that he's going to wear his underwear on the outside, and you're upset that he put his underwear underneath his pants.
Like, these stupid trucks. Yeah. My biggest thing, and I'll end with this, is that I'm totally cool with movies changing things in comics, because sometimes things in comics don't work well on a screen, and they don't work well in a 2.5 hour time limit, because you don't have 10 issues to explain something.
They are totally different narrative structures.
Exactly. Yes. So I get that. What I don't like is when they change things to change things. Like, they just change it because, okay, well, we want to put our own spin on it or whatever. Because the reason these have lasted so long, there is some longevity there. Like, for a reason. So don't just go in and think because you're whatever your name is, you can do blatantly better than the 60 years of creators and artists that have been working on this thing. Don't just come in hotshot and change
shit.
But
the things that we care about people changing are things like backstory or character archetypes.
Exactly.
Or, you know, like, you know, the fundamental nature of the character, which does not include the color of their skin or the costume they're wearing, like, at
exactly.
all. You know, or I can see people getting upset with a gender swap, say, but that's because gender does significantly change the dynamic of a character, you know.
Yeah.
So should color of your skin, too, but there's more to be said for glossing over the changes of that than the changes of how you relate to other characters per gender. That may just be my particular privilege talking. I could be completely just talking at my ass about that one. But
no, I agree on that, too.
What was that?
I agree on that, too.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that gender would have a... in comics, at least, you know, I'm not talking real life, we're talking comics and stories, a more fundamental impact on a character. So, you know, I can see getting more upset about that. But, you know, like, all the superficial shit, you know, that can come and go as it pleases, that gets changed all the time in comics anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. It's kind of funny to criticize another thing for taking canon when in the comics they can't even get it right. So
no, and not
constantly...
to mention that, you know, he talks about his red shorts, and, you know, it was straight up red underpants, you know, he got booty shorts, you know, at some point instead of underpants, and and that was an artistic deference to the idea that, you know, maybe we can try to pretend he's not wearing his underpants on the outside, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, so that was my thing on that, and I think it was just kind of really, you know, just looking for clicks, but... Hey, that's me.
There's actually this scene in Lois and Clark. Did you ever watch Lois and Clark?
I did, actually.
Yeah. So there's this scene in Lois and Clark where Superman is in costume, and he gets, a bystander basically turns to him and is like, why are you wearing that ridiculous costume? And he leans in and goes, my mom made it for me. I was like, hell yeah, she did. You know?
I actually love that. Like, yeah.
That was the best justification for that costume I ever heard. And at that point, I stopped arguing. I'm like, you know what? If my mom made me a costume, maybe not my mom, but if a mom made me a costume, I'd probably wear it too.
I'd
not
wear
argue,
it.
You know?
Yeah, people wear those crazy Christmas sweaters all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it actually looks cooler than a Christmas sweater.
Are we going to do a Christmas episode? Or are we going to wear hideous Christmas standard sweaters and drink?
Oh, clothes? Absolutely. And I will figure out some way to have, like, Christmas music on the show. Like, we're going to do it all out. No.
Okay.
I will right, not.
Set it up.
Yeah, it'll be set up. So until then, I think that's a wrap for us. Real quick though, before we take off, make sure we also have another podcast that is just launching this week, the Game Tyrant Show, which is J Dub and Jesse Bartel over at Game Tyrant. They are launching that show, so the first episode of that is up, and then of course the multicast has been around for a minute, but that makes its home on Game Tyrant as well, so check those out. Until next week, that is a full lid.